I'd like to share with you some of the insights from Guruji's 1983 Shavasana class in Sydney. So lie yourself out. Lie yourself in such a way the head is higher than the chest, chest is higher than the abdomen. Mentally draw a line and lie yourself, the center of your spine along that line. And adjust the spacing of the buttocks, the spacing of the legs. Observe the equidistance between the right and the left shoulder blade, measuring evenly between the right and the left shoulder, armpits, armpits, and the chest. So you're resting the center of your spine, that median plane, along the imaginary line. Adjust yourself. Don't cover your eyes. Check that there's no tilting of the back of the head to the right or to the left, but it's lying on the central line. Now lift the head and observe the distance between your two feet. Join the heels together with the feet apart. Then gradually drop the feet out to the sides. And while dropping the feet to the sides, see that they stay evenly outward and downward. Extend the back of the heel away from you so you can adjust the heel bone so the upper portion of the heel rests on the mat and not the bottom edge of the heel. So it's the top heel resting on the mat. It's the outer top portion of the heel. And then lower your head back to the mat. Now, if the range or the drop of the foot is equal and even, you'll feel the lightness in the thighs, the elongation of the legs, and the passivity in the knees. Now feel your sacroiliac muscle, the muscles moving from the upper portion of the waist towards the buttocks and the legs. Move the buttocks with the heel of your hands downward and away from the tailbone so that the whole of the tailbone rests on the floor. And now observe if one side of the sacroiliac muscle is nearer to the legs while the other is nearer to the trunk. Adjust. The one which is felt nearer to the waist should be further move down towards the bottom edges of your legs. Now bend the elbows by elongating the upper arms from the shoulders towards the very tip of the elbows and downward. Particularly extend the skin on the back of the upper arm towards the lower side. Extending that upper arm until the elbows rest on the mat. And it's the very medium plane of the elbow that should touch and not the sides or the back portion of the arms. Then, having placed that accurately, turn the biceps out as if they're facing a little bit towards the side walls. Then tuck the elbows firmly on the spot. Turn the wrists out. Adjust the wrists from the finger sides and turn towards the thumb side. Rest the medium plane of the lower arm to the floor without allowing them to shrink back towards the upper arm, but extend towards the lower arm and rest on the floor gradually and carefully. Now, with the wrist on the floor, extend the skin of the back palms and drop them towards the floor without stretching the fingers. Do not bend the knuckles too much or stretch them straight. Feel the knuckles at the back of the right and the left, and see that the center part of the ring finger or middle finger touches the floor. If the knuckles are tilted inward, then turn them towards the little finger so that the upper arm turns out. Then let loose the fingers gradually, keeping the palms in a non-tense state. See that there is no constriction in the arch of the feet. Watch the skin on the bottom arch of the right foot and the left foot, and whether the message is being sent of relaxation or tightness. If you feel tight, adjust the entire leg from the top downward to feel the restfulness. If one side of the skin may be taut towards the big toe and the other towards the little, the one which drops the energy to the little toe is the relaxed leg. The one which moves towards the big toe is not the relaxed leg, but a restless leg. See that both edges of the arch drop towards the little toe and let go. Now, open the eyes and look at the ceiling. And the gaze will tell you whether your vision is straight or tilted to the side. If the ceiling appears shining more on the right eye, it means the head is tilted to the right. If the left eye feels the shine, the back of the head is tilted to the left. Adjust the head from the back skull, not from the front of your head. Maintain equal extension on the sides of the neck and then rest the head on your support. Looking innocently at the ceiling, let go the tensions of the eyeballs. Feel how far the eyeballs can be dipped down into the socket, and the eyes release any strain. Now, before closing the eyes, bring the vision down nearly to the lower lids without disturbing the skull. after closing the eyes, find out whether the vision is the same, in that same position it was when your eyes were open. If the vision is slightly above, the head has been disturbed and the brain has been disturbed. So bring it to its original position. Otherwise, tension is created. Observe the pupils of the eyes from the bridge of the nose. If the right eye is far away from the nose, the head has moved to the right. If the left is far away from the bridge of the nose, the head has tilted to the left. In that case, adjust your head and not the eyes. If the vision moves down, that means the brain is resting. Watch your temples. From the sides of the eyes, the electrical energy should be dipping down towards the ears. Drop the nerve of the temple from the eyes towards the ears. Watch the passivity or the softness of the nerves of the temples on both sides. Watch which side is drawing the energy towards the ear and which is drawing towards the eye. The energy on both sides of the temple should be nearer the ears. This helps to keep the frontal brain quiet. If the energy of the temple is nearer the eyes, know that stress and tension is there. Without disturbing the eyes, now watch your breath and see if you can go deeper into your Shavasana. Don't do deep breathing to start, but normal breath only. Consciously let the intelligence dip into the floor of the breath. If the drawn in breath that flows underneath the sinus bones touches more on the right and less on the left, or vice versa, it means the head position has shifted. So again, you'll need to readjust the skull and adjust it from the back immediately to bring the breath to flow on the sinus rib at equidistance from the middle of the nose. Watch the middle throat. See from the center of the throat the spacing or the opening of the walls of the throat on the right and the left side is of the same size. If one side blocks and the other side opens, consider that something is wrong. It may be the placing of your body, in the placing of your head or the placing of your collarbones, shoulder blades or the shoulders. So whatever that needs adjusting, adjust. Keeping the eyes passive, relax the center portion of the skin of the eyebrows, allowing them to move to the sides. Rest the hair of the eyebrows on the floor of the brain. If the vision moves upward, the position of your head is disturbed. In order to bring the eyes down, move the hair of your eyebrows towards the lids of your eyes. And this builds up passivity. in the same way what your inner is. The right ear and the left ear latitudinally should get adjusted and balanced. Feel if one ear is more above the ground and the other is nearer the ground. The hemispheres of the brain are not running parallel to each other. Keep the brain as a passive witnessing instrument. The hemispheres of the brain should be equidistant from the center of the brain and at the same time remain soft on the inner brain while in normal inhalation. While exhaling, feel each outflow of the breath with attentive intelligence. Do normal inhalation without disturbing or tensing the eyeballs. If they are tense, know that the essence and the fragrance of quietness is lost. Immediately readjust and sink the eyeballs into the socket. The eyeballs should rest and not swim above the socket. This observation and adjustment must be carried out throughout your shavasana. So having disciplined the body, the brain, the eyes, the ears, do normal inhalation and soft, deep, quiet exhalation without disturbing . Do not disturb the trunk. Only the horizontal body should be brought towards the center without jerking the ribs as you exhale. Do not expel the breath, but release the breath from each tissue of the lungs. So notice the difference between sliding the breath and releasing the breath. So listen to the sound of the exhalation so that the intelligence watches and controls to maintain the rhythm of the outgoing breath. Listening to the rhythmic sound, go on releasing the breath until both edges of the diaphragm become passive and the breath evaporates at the rim of the sinuses. If the lightness is not felt there, then know the exhalation is incomplete. So throughout your shavasana, practice this way by resting the lower jaw, the mouth, the tongue, the teeth, as if they were asleep. If there is a slight opening in the mouth or the tongue, then know that there's a certain strain that has been cultured unknowingly somewhere. Throughout the normal inhalation and the soft, deep exhalation, watch the arms, watch the back of the arms, and see that no shifting or tilting of the skin takes place. As water finds its level, the intelligence has to find its level equally on the inner layers of the physical body and the intelligence without any bumps. Re-observe to discipline the eyes, the ears, and adjust them to remain in their original position as you've previously disciplined. And like the river that flows within its banks, the breath must flow with each rib acting as a bank without creating any narrowness. The breath should be equidistant without hitting the frame of the ribs or the frame of the intercostal muscles. So when water is spilt on the floor, the water spreads. Similarly, the intelligence has to spread like water in the chest. While doing your inhalation, watch the eyes, the temples, the mouth, the lips. Especially watch the lips and move from the median plane of the lips and allow the extremities to move down on either side evenly. This removes tension in the tongue and the mouth. Soft inhalation is meant to take off the hardness and the restlessness. So learn the art of exhalation. So exhale without paying much attention to the inhalation. So you learn to feel the receding pattern of the flow of the breath. And just remain there for a few moments silently. Observe the in-breath and the out-breath. The out-breath, which is soft and friendly to the system. No jerks, no constrictions, no tightness in the brain or the eyes or the tongue should be felt. The sensation of the feeling of the feet and the head should be the same, cool and quiet. Learn to capture the state of the brain so that it is kept in a state of quietness. And with a deeper exhalation, how you learn to maintain the floor of the brain, which is now nearer the eyes. So as you start the process of inhalation, the position of your eyes and the head should not be disturbed. In deep inhalation, watch the brain, the eyebrows, eyeballs, ears, even the back of the upper arms and the knuckles. While in inhalation, no particles of these parts should be moved up. Connect the intelligence to the internal breath and to the inner lungs without bringing the head to be part and parcel with the breath. The brain should be like a thing, like an object, as the feet are also objective in Shavasana. Let the chest alone be a subject. When the subject is moving, see the objects, the feet, the arms, the legs, knees, buttocks, the brain, facial muscles, ears, tongue, teeth. They should not all move at all. Keep the eyes passive, the tongue undisturbed, ears listening to the sound of the vibration of the breath. Watch the eyebrows, the skin on the middle of the eyebrows should move to the sides. If the eyebrow skin moves to the center of the eyebrows, tension is felt. Spread the skin away from the center of the eyebrows so that the intelligence has no focal point for concentration. Concentration is of two ways. If one has a focal point, it is dharana. If the focal point is off in concentration, it is meditation. The intelligence in the body and the brain should spread out as if each point becomes a focal point without a sight. Now, before starting your conscious inhalation, stretch the floating ribs to the sides. Exhale or release whatever breath is in the lungs, stretching the inner frame of the floating ribs to the sides. Start the inhalation. Here, the soul gets involved if one peeps inside the body. In inhalation, the intelligence must feel the fragrance of the breath, instant to instant. In deep, soft inhalation, see both lungs move evenly. When the breath touches the top of the chest, exhale normally, but slowly let the outflow take its own time and let the abdominal organs become passive on their own. Again, feel the fragrance of the in-breath and the even touching of the breath in the lungs. Do not use the arms unknowingly. After full inhalation, lift the outer edges of the top chest in order to release the breath gradually till the quietness and the emptiness is felt on the sinus bone. Before starting inhalation, dip the edges of the diaphragm underneath the floating ribs and start the inhalation. At the end of inhalation, the fibers which are attached to the outer muscles of the diaphragm should run parallel, thinner and longer. After full inhalation, a certain circular grip takes place on its own. Takes place at the outer edges of the chest, armpits and that top chest. This natural grip has to be observed and held so that a comfortable release of the breath takes place in the process of exhalation. In inhalation, keep the muscles of the diaphragm as far as possible below the head of the floating ribs See, it doesn't trespass over the chest walls. If the diaphragm moves above the chest, then the abdomen moves like a balloon. So let go the out-breath. The letting out-breath should be soft and tasted by the intelligence. After exhalation, observe how the cells readjust themselves. Then drawing the edges of the diaphragm underneath the floating ribs, start the inhalation, observing the outer edges of the chest and not the sternum alone. Stretch the sternum sideways to bring the elasticity on the muscles of the ribs, especially if any muscles at the ribs are getting stuck. At the end of inhalation, with relaxed tongue, see that the inner corners and the outer corners of the top breast are parallel to each other and the diaphragm is touching the bottom chest box evenly. While releasing the breath, don't dip the ribs suddenly. Allow the breath to walk carefully on the inner ribs, which have 12 steps, like you'd make a child walk carefully on its first steps. Exhalation is like the descending order from a ladder. The inhalation is the ascending order on a ladder. See how the indrawn breath spreads smoothly in the air cells without the action of the brain. Learn to look and feel the outer ribs, middle ribs, bottom ribs, top corner, outer corner, and so on. Look all at once, as if it's a second person looking. A second person looking at once is meditation. The difference between concentration and meditation is that concentration has a focal point, and in meditation, everything becomes a focal point. The light in this house can only brighten this house, but cannot go out. This is the focus of attention or concentration. If the walls are broken, the light spreads outside these walls and goes further, and that is meditation. Keep the eyes quiet, passive, ears receptive, feet, arms in an immobile state, following the art of inhalation and exhalation throughout your shavasana. The chest has 12 ribs and 11 floors, like a skyscraper. In inhalation, the starting point is the pelvic rim and the navel. The intelligence has to visualize from the bottom of the pelvic rim and allow the breath to climb up towards the chambers of the ribs, spreading from one end to the other. While climbing up a ladder, you see first whether the bottom poles of the ladder are firm or not. Then you keep each foot firm and climb up. Similarly, in climbing up, one feels the feet light and the palms are held firmly to the poles of the ladder. In the same way, while inhaling, the bottom poles of the ladder, the pelvic rims, become the foundation. The 12 ribs are the steps of the ladder. With the help of the pelvic rims and the diaphragm that is connected to the pelvic rim, this is known as the pelvic diaphragm. With this end slightly down as you inhale, extend them towards the middle diaphragm, the thoracic diaphragm. The respiratory muscles of the neck are known as the vocal diaphragm. In yogic breathing, the vocal diaphragm has to be in a state of shavasana. The initiative is from the pelvic diaphragm, and then the activation continues to the thoracic diaphragm and the top chest. Start the inhalation from the bottom of the pubic plate accurately, as if the breath is climbing on the chambers of the ribs, creating space for it to spread. In yogic breathing, horizontal expansion and vertical extension has to be synchronized evenly. At the end of inhalation, feel the extreme corner from both top breast to the armpit, and by creating space for the breath to cover that area, so you're not filling the middle chest alone. Then after full inhalation, expansion and extension takes place on its own from the extreme ends of the ribs. Now retain this grip consciously to exhale. As one climbs down from the top of the ladder, allow the breath to climb down without the chest following it. In inhalation, the intelligence follows the breath by surrendering itself to the incoming breath. The inhalation, the breath, is the master of intelligence. In exhalation, the intelligence acts as the master and the outgoing breath as the servant. The intelligence grips the body like a master, then dictates terms and releases the breath to go out until total silence is felt on the organic body. Mind, intelligence, consciousness and self. In pranayama practice, one has to supplement one's will. In inhalation, the intelligence guides the will to be passive for it to explore the lungs. In exhalation, the same intelligence directs with an active will for the breath to release from the lungs. Inhalation is the art of accepting the Lord in the form of the universal breath to make the individual feel the grace of existence. Exhalation is the art of surrendering the individual self to the universal self. This is the philosophy of pranayama. In inhalation, the cosmic breath is made to unite with the individual breath, and in exhalation, the known breath is made to merge in the unknown breath, the cosmic breath. The known merging with the unknown is exhalation, bringing the unknown to merge with the known is inhalation. As the lover embraces the beloved, the breath, which goes through inhalation, is the lover that embraces the beloved resting in the body. In exhalation, the beloved holds the lover as if both are not separated at all. This is the divine marriage between nature and self. In inhalation, the lover, the self, engulfs the beloved, the body. In exhalation, the body, the beloved, embraces the lover, the soul. This is the divine union of the individual with the universal, and vice versa. In pranayama is the union of the known with the unknown, and the unknown with the known. Here, life and death lose their identity and appear as one. This is perfect pranayama, perfect meditation, perfect shavasana.